ideas don't just like come from nowhere. And a lot of times as product marketers, we're expected to write copy. We're expected to plan launches. We're expected to like be creative in these ways where if you're starting from a blank page every time, it's just like, it is so hard to do.
Every Sunday, I'll spend bookmark 2 hours, go through everything that I did, read it, make further notes on it, and then it's in my head. And that for me is very helpful because if again, as Jason said, like if you don't currently do these things, you're just not going to use them.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Product Marketing Life podcast. My name is Colin Majak, lead PMM at Klassi. And today I sat down with Jason Oakley and Aubrey Chapnick. If you don't know Jason and Aubrey, Jason and Aubrey co-write a fantastic newsletter called The PMM Files. And today we sat down and talked about borrowed creativity, a few of our favorite product marketing examples, and how you can build a PMM swipe file of your own. Enjoy the episode. Gentlemen, coming all the way from Toronto, welcome to Product Marketing Life. How are you guys?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, Colin.
Thanks for having me too. Yeah, it's great to be here, and this is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
We were just talking before the show started that this is the first time Aubrey and I have interacted, but it feels like we're friends because we've bantered on LinkedIn and made that sort of friendship. But it wasn't until prepping for the show that I actually realized you guys are both in Toronto. And I have no mental picture for Toronto other than like cold city. I have Vancouver in my head on the other side of the country. It's like you took Vancouver and you dropped it over there. But I have a feeling that's not accurate.
Well, I'm actually, to be fair, I just kept it in my LinkedIn, but I'm actually a couple hours outside Toronto. So I'm in a place called Collingwood. So I'm in like a small town, but I'm where like everyone in Toronto goes to ski on the weekends, basically. But Aubrey's right in there. But
I'm right in the Toronto proper, I guess. And, you know, it's funny. It's kind of been pretty weird here from a weather perspective, but you're not totally wrong from a whole. It's cold a lot of the time here.
Yeah. But the skiing thing is not a Vancouver thing in my mind. Like, I don't associate Vancouver as heavily with like, I mean, there's a lot of good hiking and outdoors in the Pacific Northwest in general, but I don't think of it in the same lenses. Maybe that's wrong.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe that's the thing in the U.S. Like when I, as an East Coast Canada person, when I think of Vancouver, I think like skiing, mountains, that sort of thing.
Well, Tamara clear that up.
Yeah, Tamara is someone who lives there. Maybe she thinks different. But it's kind of like I assume everyone in Vancouver skis, but I know that's not right. You know?
I mean, I lived in Vancouver for 2 years when I was in grad school. And, you know, I kind of consider myself like the worst Canadian ever because I don't do any of the winter sports. So all my grad school friends, they'd all be hiking up to Whistler or whatnot, and I'd be, you know, not doing that, I guess. My wife loves to ski, but she hasn't been able to convince me to take the plunge yet.
You're holding her back from her skiing dreams.
Yes, very much so.
So I have all my mental picture of Toronto, and it's fine if your mental picture of Nashville is that I'm wearing boots beneath my desk just now. I'm not. I'm wearing slippers. But if that's in your image and I'm going to like turn on country music after this, that's fine. But real reason you guys are here, you two run what I think is objectively and subjectively the best product marketing newsletter out there. And I don't throw that out lightly. PMM Files is one of the few newsletters that I make a concerted effort to read every single edition of. So, I mean, Jason, can you tell me a little bit about how you got started with PMM Files and sort of how it was born?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks. We put a lot of effort into it, and it's been, you know, we had our year anniversary just a couple of weeks ago. So it's, you know, it helps when people say they find it valuable and stuff like that. So thanks. I think the idea of PMM Files, I've always been a big fan of the concept of a swipe file in general. And I just think that like the concept of borrowed creativity, you know, this idea of like, no, ideas don't just like come from nowhere. And a lot of times as product marketers, we're expected to write copy. We're expected to plan launches. We're expected to like be creative in these ways where if you're starting from a blank page every time, it's just like, it is so hard to do. And when you're expected to move fast and you're kind of juggling multiple things at once, when you can have a shortcut you know, for lack of a better word, to create great work and spark creativity, then, yeah, you know, amazing. That, like, the more the better, right? So I created PMM Files because I've always been a big fan of, like, Harry Dry's newsletter and Marketing Examples, right? And so that stuff for me is the stuff I really like. I like practical examples. I like things that I can file away in my swipe file. And so I always had my own swipe file. And yeah, I always loved, like, Harry's newsletter and newsletters like it. And so I was like, hey, there's a place for a product marketing focused one where it talks about things related to product marketing. Cool messaging examples, positioning examples, launches, content that we typically make as a product marketer. And so, yeah, so that, like, sparked the idea for PMM Files, right? And so I started it, like, I don't know, you know, just over a year ago. And at the time it was called the Swipe Files. Turns out,
oh, I remember that.
Newsletter. Yeah, there's another newsletter with that name. And so eventually changed it to PMM Files, which is great from a positioning perspective. It's more focused on product marketers. And yeah, that's kind of been it. And from day one, it's always been just want to share examples that are practical and that people would add to their swipe file. And that's kind of, yeah, like the inspiration for it.
I really like that take on creativity, in part because, yeah, one, just out of my own insecurity, I'll look at my counterparts like in the B2C space and feel like, oh man, they are just wildly creative is how I'll feel. And I'm like, I'm just this boring, non-creative B2B guy. But I think the honesty about the best ideas are building on other people's ideas more often than, yeah, not. And just having kind of owning that creativity can be the way that you draw inspiration and who you choose to draw your inspiration from. I really like that. It just, yeah, that's a really helpful take. And Aubrey, when did you kind of get involved? Because I know I remember Jason launching this, and then I remember being just pleasantly surprised, like, oh, now, like, Aubrey and Jason are doing this together.
Join the fun.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. How'd that connection happen?
Yeah. So it's funny, Colin, because similar to how I think you and I sort of have gotten acquainted here for the first time in person, but we've known each other for a while. Yeah. I started following Jason on LinkedIn when I was first getting into product marketing a couple of years ago. And then I think, Jason, I ended up meeting you at a PMA conference in Toronto. And it's funny, yeah, you were standing and talking next to April, and I was very hey, afraid, because, yeah, it's like, oh my God, this guy is talking, these two product marketing legends are talking together. Who is this guy? Anyways, so that's how we first got connected. And I'm of the opinion, similar to Jason, where, you know, as a relatively, I guess, new product marketer at the time, I was always looking for best in class examples of how to do stuff, because, yeah, you don't notionally understand how difficult it is to actually do product marketing until you've actually done it. And so I think I struggled with that a little bit at the start. So I ended up finding PMM Files off of a whim and started following. And then about 5 or 6 months ago, I think now, I kind of just said, you know what? I love to write. I've been doing some side work for a while in terms of writing for newsletters, and particularly financial newsletters, doing some side work from a product marketing perspective, and just wanted to do something different, to be honest. And yeah, I reached out to Jason kind of just on a whim. Like, we already knew each other, but I just said, hey, you know, I'd love to help you with PMM Files to grow the newsletter, maybe help you be more efficient, take some time off of your hands so you can go and build your solopreneurship business. And yeah, that's how it really started. And it's really been awesome. I mean, I've working with Jason, I've learned so much. Being a part of PMM Files has been awesome. And then also just it honestly just forces you to look at a lot of stuff, which I feel, yeah, like I kind of compare this to being a musician. Like, I play guitar, and I feel like, to Jason's point, the more that you see, the more you can start to make connections, and it just elevates you and brings you to the next level. So that's kind of, yeah, how I got started with it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, well, 2 points to make. First is the idea of, like, the more that you, even the process of writing this newsletter every week, it is like the more, and the whole concept of, like, there's no better way to learn than try to teach something. It is, yeah, dissecting and trying to essentially, like, teach people little lessons. When you're looking at examples, it makes you think critically about stuff you see, and it is a great way to learn. And yeah, and the one thing I'll call out too is for people who are, you know, one thing really struck me about you, Aubrey, is, you know, and this is, I guess, a lesson for anyone who wants to start working with, I don't know, someone they see online, or, like, work their way into even a company you want to work with, anything like that. You reached out and you were like, hey, like, you know, I would love to do some like volunteer with your newsletter and like help you out and stuff like that. And you weren't the first person who's ever reached out like offering to help, but one, you were specific about what you wanted to help with and you just ran with it. And I think that's like a big kudos to you. And it made it easy for me to be like, well, of course, like you've been super helpful. But sometimes people reach out and they're like, oh, I would just love to help and be involved, but they don't. Sometimes it's more work for the person they're offering help to like find something for them to do, show them how to do it. Like you just took and ran with it, which has been obviously a huge help. And it's been like more fun too.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun for me too. So thanks thanks for saying yes.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Aubrey, I mean, Jason, you have Productive PMM where you are mentoring product marketers and kind of getting the offer, like be that product marketer in your back pocket sort of role. But Aubrey, you have a 9-to-5, right? Like you have a full-time gig that you're doing PM files on top of.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a senior PMM at a B2B SaaS company called Q4. We're based in Toronto, but most of our clients are in the US and then globally. And kind of what I'm responsible for is a portfolio of products and lead product marketing for those portfolio products. And it's definitely been really helpful for my day job, to be honest. It's funny because we did a team collaboration day for the marketing team. We're going through a bit of a rethink in terms of our story and our messaging and positioning. And I can maybe touch on that in relation to the actual example that I'm going to share. But I used a lot of the inspiration from PMM files to plan that day with my marketing team. And I chose some PMM files. I think this is actually before I was working with you, Jason, to be honest, and be like, you know, this is where we're getting the information from. And then now the other product marketers on my team, they've seen Jason's stuff and they really find it helpful too. So.
Yeah. Nice. I have borrowed things from Jason that were borrowed from others that were borrowed from others. It's the borrowing circle goes round and round. Yeah. Well, here's what I'm hoping for. I think for those who have or haven't tuned into PMM files, I want to give a taste of it and even kind of show the value of having these examples ready. I've become really persuaded that looking at other people who are killing it in the product marketing space and figuring out what you can learn from them is crazy valuable. So I've asked you both to come with one of your favorite product marketing examples from the PMM files. I'll have one too. And I would love to hear one, like what's your example? Give us all a breakdown and then what you loved about it. And just to be clear for those listening, all these are directly pulled from PMM files. So we didn't go find original ones. These are straight out of the file cabinet. So we'll do three. Jason, you want to go first?
Yeah, let's do it. And I think in like true PMM files fashion to try to like talk about why I like it and kind of what you can probably pull from it or learn from it. So my example comes from a company called Colab Software. And they're basically creating, they call it design. It's a design engagement system, but it's kind of like they're creating a design management software, but their product seems to be for physical products. So whereas like, you know, you work in a collaboration tool like a Figma and you're designing a homepage, it's like, what about if you're designing a car part? What about if you're designing a physical product? Right. And so, so it can be a complex thing to describe. And a lot of times as a product marketer, you need to take like a complex concept and describe it in a way that's easy to understand and help people quickly understand what your product does. So that when they land on your homepage, they're like, all right, I'm in the right spot. Right? This can help solve my problem. And I think a lot of homepages are very focused on like a broader narrative, but never get down to actually explaining what they do. And so this idea I like called essentially like a penny drop moment, a penny drop, like at Clue, our CEO, Jason, he used to refer to this as like that penny drop moment. And for us at Clue, we were working on our pitch deck. And there was like a point in the pitch deck where like you would describe the problem, you would talk about like your unique perspective on the market, but eventually you'd have to get to a point where you describe what you do. And we always wanted this very one clear, concise slide that was like, people see it and they're like, oh, okay, I get it now, right? So it's like at a high level, here's what our platform does, right? Like here's what our product does. And so Colab, if you go to their homepage, which is colabsoftware.com, and you scroll down a little bit to a section that starts with make better design decisions faster is like the heading there. And what I really like about this is one with the copy, but two with they basically have like three sections, right below that. So like the format of this section is just one header, some subtext, another like kind of call it like a small header. But then below that, there are three blocks that essentially explain their platform in three steps. So like,
yeah,
make better design decisions faster is very much speaking to like the benefits of the platform. Down from that, it says Colab lets you share design files and feedback all tracked in one place. With more context and less admin work, teams can review designs 2 times faster. So again, being very clear on like what the product does and the benefits. Right down from that, it says with a design engagement system, they start to kind of weave in their category there. Your engineering collaboration stays organized. So right down from that, they then have these three blocks that very quickly, one says secure file sharing. And down from that is a very, basically an image of that looks true to their product. Like it looks like the UI you would see in their product. Yeah. And so again, I think that's better in a lot of cases than something like that, that's abstract. And you could see someone's like sharing that file, right? Second to that, it's contextualized feedback. You can see a 3D rendering that you'd see within their product. And there are people making comments and sharing feedback right on top of that. And then the third one is automatic feedback tracking. And it's a UI part of their product that just shows simply that, right? Like a feedback tracking and so a part you can see that in their product. So very quickly you can get in here. You can, from the images, you can tell what type of products this is used to design. And you can very quickly be like, okay, I get in here. I could share these files I'm working on. Everyone can hop in and give feedback and we can keep track of it all. And you can go on to learn more about that. Like you could go on to their product overview page and like drill down, but at a very high level, for most people, or at least what I think when I see this, is the penny drops, right? Like you get it. And I think that a lot of times it doesn't take too much to actually get the point across to people, like what your platform does. And the more complex the platform, the harder it is. But I really like this as an example of, hey, in one, you know, as early as you can on your homepage, how do you get the point across of like, hey, this is what our product is, this is what it does, so that people can be like, cool, check. This is what I'm looking for. And then, okay, let's get into like how we're different.
What I really love about this one too, and you know, it's funny when me and Jason put the newsletter together every week, we kind of do this like back and forth thing of trying to convince each other of what should actually be in it. And, you know, we take score and, you know, I said to Jason, like whoever wins over the next, you know, year or month or whatever owes the other one a beer. But what I like what he said.
Just one. One beer only.
Is like the idea of simplicity, making platforms very easy to understand really quickly, even just in that one liner, I think thematically is something that we're seeing a lot in SaaS in general, just the platformification of everything, to be honest. And I don't see a lot of companies doing that really well. But one thing that, you know, I really just wanted to say is kind of that penny drop moment is applicable to multiple parts of the company from an internal perspective, and then it's also relatable to the customer. So if you think about how to scale out your sales process, reduce your deal cycle times, making sure that you're easier to sell to, which at the end of the day is a form of differentiation in this world, especially if you have, you know, an outbound sales team or a larger sales team and you're not necessarily PLG focused. This is really, really important because the last thing that you want to do as a customer going into a sales experience with a company is, you know, wait till the third demo call to be like, oh, this is finally what this company does and this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I think this is really, really great for that, because right on the either first call with an AE, or even if you're getting like an outbound message from an SDR, they can really clearly distill that penny drop moment into messaging and get a call and get further along in the process faster, which really drives a lot of your metrics at the end of the day.
Love that. Yes.
I think what I appreciate about it is knowing that I'm so far from Colab's ICP, yet I can land on this page and know what they do.
Yeah.
Like, I think that to me, that's a huge way. I mean, obviously, yes, make your homepage super hospitable to your ICP. There's some language here that would be more, I would consider insider language for someone who's in that lane of building physical products. But the fact that I can land here and know very quickly, oh, this solves a feedback problem and allows collaboration when you're building physical products from the rendering to actually engineering it. Like, the fact that I know that this quickly is a really, in my opinion, sign of like really clear messaging.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Jason. That's a great example. Aubrey. You're up next. What do you have for us?
So that's a tough one to follow, but hopefully I'll put up a good fight here, Jason, and maybe the Padawan will surpass the master here on this one. You can tell I like Star Wars.
And anyways,
yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have Obi-Wan Kenobi's hairdo, but that's besides the point. Maybe one day. So for me, since I spend a lot of time in the fintech world, and also my background is in finance, so naturally, yeah, I'm kind of more drawn to this world. I chose, for my example, a company called Ramp. Now, basically what Ramp is, it's kind of like a B2B payments, financial operations platform that not only helps to streamline your entire kind of CFO stack to a large extent, but also helps you save money at the same time. And very clear with, and in terms of their case, I'll kind of describe it. But what I really love about them, and I'm talking about their website actually, is I actually shared this website with my team because of how I thought amazing it was. And what it really does is a couple things that's really important. And contextually, kind of what Jason was saying, this is a platform company. Like, this is another one of these companies that are trying to sell multiple solutions to the same economic buyer. And it can be really difficult to kind of show that in a clear, succinct way. But also kind of when you think about the sales motion behind it, how do you increase your ACV at the outset of a deal? But if you can't increase the outset, if you can't increase the ACV of your deal right at the start, how do you kind of fall back on something, get there, land the deal, and then really expand it in a clear way? I think that like what Ramp's website does is you can really think about how you would land and expand just through going through the website. And that's what I really love about them because and I'll get into the specifics in a second, but again, like platform companies can be really difficult to understand. And if you're not clear on the core problems that you're solving, the adjacent problems that you're solving, and how they ladder up to the core problem, it can be really difficult to kind of walk that through. So I'll kind of give some descriptions here in a second. So like Jason described, you know, hero messaging is obviously very important and making sure you can really clearly understand what they do very quickly. Ramp does is great in a number of places, but I'll start with the hero. They talk about themselves as being this way to spend smarter. And for them, what spending smarter means is easier and better ways to manage corporate credit card spending, having limits on that spending, having the right approval flows for that credit card spending, and then also getting into things like vendor payments. And then what I love about this is they kind of go basically easy to use cards, spend limits, approval flows, vendor payments, and more, dash, plus an average of 5% savings, basically. And that is the basis of everything that they do. And it ties so well down through the rest of the homepage, where if you start going down, and this is what got me about their website, to be honest, if you go down a little bit and you kind of go, you know, below the fold and you see the next kind of piece of copy, what got me about them was this line, is the card is just the start. Now that is... So that tells you a lot about them, right? Because if you're a platform company, if you're any sort of multi-product company, you're starting in one place, you're generating product market fit in one area, and you're building on that. And time, and you know, usually if you're doing that, your reputation is probably wrapped up in, oh, hey, you know, I know this company for this one thing, right? Like, this is how companies grow. They start with one product, one channel, one message, they hammer it, and they do that to success. And then how do you grow your ARR? Well, you either go to new markets, you add more products, you increase price, you know, whatever, a lot of different ways that you grow. For them, they make it really, really easy. So if you go down, that they make it very clear that they know that their customers think of them as a card company, right? So they need to change that perception right at the start, but they know that they offer fantastic offering in that. And then when you go down, you start to see everything else in terms of not only what they do, but also very clear outcomes that they solve for. And this is not easy to do, by the way. I mean, I've spent, you know, we've all done this, right? Like, spent so much time getting the outcome statements and, you know, what problems do you solve? How do you solve them? Why are they better than the customers? And then what's your competitors? And then what's different in the outcome that gets delivered? So if you go down to through Ramp's website, they start talking about their other stuff. So a global corporate card. This is the line below it, the outcome statement. Control your spend globally with unlimited cards and full visibility. Amazing. Super clear, super simple, really actionable. Next thing, expense management. Automate expense reporting and control employees' expenses at scale. Amazing. Then he kind of goes to the rest of them. I'll talk about the last thing that I really, really love about them now is they basically make it very easy for you to understand the financial benefit of working with Ramp. And they do it very specifically, and they say save an average of 5% with Ramp. Now, that's an interesting number, because if you think about it emotionally, 5% is not a large number, right? Versus, you know, like 20%, 30%, 40%. But that number makes you believe it a lot easier. And then when you also, as a buyer, kind of unpack all of the financial transactions that will be going through Ramp, you're kind of like, oh my God, I'm going to save a lot of money. And then they provide specific examples of how that works. So I absolutely love what they've done in their website. And I could go on for it literally for days.
I'm a Ramp fanboy in the house.
I'm a big Ramp fan.
What I like about, I remember when you share this example, I was like, oh, that's really cool. I don't see enough company. There are so many companies out there that like, we're an all-in-one. We do multiple products, do many things, but no one, you know, it's almost, it could be that people are afraid to kind of box themselves into being like, you have to start here, or here's the place to start. I think they do it in a good way where they say it's like the card is just the beginning, meaning like, you know, it's not to say someone has to start. Well, in this case, they probably do. But in most cases, it's not like someone always has to start with one product. But if most people do start with one product, right, and you are very much like a land and expand kind of approach as a, like part of your go-to-market, it's, you know, you can still talk about the other solutions. It's not to say your website has to only talk about that one thing and then you expand afterwards. But it is interesting. It's like, how can companies do more of showing people where you start and how you expand as part of explaining their product? I think this is a really cool example of that. And you don't see it that often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe just a last quick point is to Jason's point, near the bottom of the website, you've got another really great one line of copy of kind of built to scale with you. And you see that right at the end. So you're kind of going through this experience and tells you a lot about also who they understand their ICP to be. Because if they're using the word scale versus another word like grow, for example, you can kind of tell who they're really focused on. And then they grow with you. Clearly, they're focused on a certain type of ICP, and you get that right after you've gone through everything else. So it's pretty awesome.
I even think your stat, Aubrey, sort of reinforces their ICP, that 5% stat. Because I think if you're early stage, you're doing some quick math on what you spend and you're like, 5% is not very much. I probably shouldn't even buy. Like, why would I buy a whole platform to solve this problem? But it does give a nod that like 5%, if you're at that enterprise level and you've got a lot of employees who are running transactions, that does become a lot more attractive at that point.
Yeah.
And to Jason's point, I love there is a certain element of courage of just recognizing the thing that people know you for. Cause like, even in my case, I knew Ramp primarily through expense management, being on the employee side and saying like, oh, just please pay me back for this remote desk thing that I bought. But I do think recognizing, hey, people know us for this thing. And trusting, I mean, Ramp's a great example. Like, clearly Ramp's not struggling. They're killing it. And they take this approach and they're not losing massive revenue for it. It's paying off for them. So anyway, killer example.
Nice one, Aubrey.
All right. I have an example of my own. So my example comes in two parts, a launch and a personal experience. So the company is Capsule. If you don't know Capsule, Capsule is a video editing tool. And they, for this launch, they grouped together three features under one theme, and that was just video sound quality. So the launch included what they called Voice Magic, Soundtrack, and Auto Mix. And the star of this launch was the launch video. So here's what I liked about it. And genuinely, if you're listening, you should go find it. I'll link it when I post about this. But here's what I liked about it. One, for each feature, they really succinctly summarized the problem and then showed off that feature in real time in the video. So like the video opens, if you can imagine, with this hook of, do your videos sound like this? And it's a clip of a woman talking and it's really echoey and washed out and quiet. Then it cuts to, or like this. And it's that same clip playing again, but the audio it's perfect. It's so well done. and they do something comparable like that, that before and after for all three of those features. Second, they made a really cool competitive call out. So they cite on that feature Voice Magic, they cite that 10 out of 10 users thought that Voice Magic made their voice sound better than Descript's studio sound. And Descript is like one of their biggest competitors, and studio sound would be the comparable feature. And I like that because one, it's direct about who they're competing against. They want you to know that you should compare them to Descript, and they're trying to grab that share of the market. But two, because if you're going to come out with a parity feature where you're like just matching the market expectation, in my mind, it's a win if you can confidently make it better than what your competitors currently have, not just the same. Because people don't switch for, oh, it's the same as what I have. Like, oh, so you're just like Descript. Saying like, hey, we had 10 people test this and they all said it sounds better. I think that was a really well done competitive call out. So real-time demonstration, that competitive call out. And then finally, I really love the brevity. So the video is under 2 minutes and you without a doubt walk away knowing what those features do. Like they even have this kind of pithy summary at the end where their CEO is talking in the video and he says, there you have it. Voice Magic to make you sound great, Soundtrack to help you find the perfect song, and Auto Mix to bring the two together.
Yeah.
And that summary is, I don't know, what is that? 30, that's 25 words. And it summarizes the three features like really well done. All that to say, that's the launch. It's brilliant. But can I go a little bit further and tell a story about Capsule?
For sure.
Do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, go for it.
I have the host mic, so I'm going to do it. A few months before this launch, Capsule had its market launch. And you guys might remember this. They did a really hard influencer push and they were all over my feed. And at the time, I was a solo PMM at a startup, so I was doing everything. So I was making videos, and I decided to check them out. And my honest take was that the product was kind of confusing and hard to navigate, and I eventually logged out. But before I did, I at 4 o'clock, I signed up for Capsule. 4:07, I'm tinkering around, and I decide, this is a little bit hard. I leave some feedback in the chat. 2 minutes later, I get a response from a real human asking where I'm stuck and where I need help. And then another 9 minutes later, I get another response from that same human offering feedback or asking for feedback and offering help. I didn't feel like explaining it, so I logged out. 10 minutes after that, I get an email from the CEO asking where I'm stuck and offering help. I didn't reply. It was like end of my day. I'm being such a bad prospect.
Yeah, you're the worst.
I'm the worst. But that evening and the next morning, I got 2 onboarding emails. And then that next day, around the same time, I get a call from someone at Capsule to the tune of like, hey, Colin, this is so-and-so from Capsule. I heard you were feeling stuck in the product. Do you have a few minutes to give some feedback? And we chatted for 11 minutes. And one, he clears some things up and takes note of my feedback. And I committed in that moment to giving the product another try. And then
wow.
A few minutes later, I get a DM from their CEO saying, hey, thanks for the feedback. So in 24 hours, I got 2 chat responses, an email from the CEO, 2 onboarding emails, a phone call, and a LinkedIn DM.
That's wild.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. If that's not like a masterclass in product. So like that launch was amazing. And I think they could do that launch because they're nailing feedback.
Yeah.
And like getting that customer, like they were aggressive, but I think really well done customer feedback.
That's a great example. I love that one. The there's many things I like there, but the last thing you shared there, what I really like about that is it shows it's a very clear indication of like what their like goals are and what's incentivizing their team. Yeah. Like they're not like trying to just optimize for getting as much revenue, as many leads as possible and things like that from their product launch. Like they were very, you know, and I'm sure it was coming from the top down where it was like, all we care about is making sure that as many people who come in get to like, one, we're learning from them, getting valuable feedback, but we're helping them be as successful in this product as possible. Like even if you bought it, it was like the amount of effort they put into you actually buying the product. Like they weren't making any profit, Ralph, you, right? Like it was not about revenue generating at that point. It's about like, how do we build the best possible product, get the feedback, do it fast, make sure that every person who signs up is hopefully getting like happy with the product, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like if, and I say that because a lot of times for product marketers who are watching this and companies with established products, so many times it's like, oh, this new feature's out. It's going to help us generate X in revenue. It's never about like, how do we make sure when this feature launches, we're getting as much feedback as possible. It like helping people be successful with that feature. It's all about how do we like increase adoption in some type of automated, scalable fashion? And how do we generate X in revenue from this and as quickly as possible, right? So it's, I wish more established companies could take that same approach with a product launch. But yeah, I love that example. It's also a cool example of a launch that was bundled, right? Those are three features that each could have been launched on their own potentially, but they saved them up. They did three at once and it was all around this theme of better audio quality, which is also cool.
Yeah.
What I think is really interesting about that too, and besides all the great points that, that you mentioned around, you know, brevity, the approach of bundling, the kind of, the point that I thought you really made that well, quite well, calling the whole idea of saying, hey, you know, we're going to build something that's, you know, just like what you have now sort of thing. Like that's not a really inspiring thing. I really, really like that. Hearing about your experience though, after the fact, if you unpack like the go-to-market planning that's around that sort of experience that you have, it kind of makes you think, right? Because as, you know, product marketers, we all kind of, we all have experience on, you know, working across a lot of different teams to get a lot of people aligned, putting together launch plans. And you know, Jason, you provided me a lot of great perspective on that too, throughout all the things you've put together on launch plans and execution and things like that. But just the decision that got made from a stakeholder perspective to do that level of follow-up across every levels of the level of the organization is incredible. And I think it really speaks to something around this whole idea of go to market being a team sport, which I think is such an important thing because there's so many different parts of the company that go into it. And clearly one of the standout parts of this product launch was an experience that you probably had with a customer success team. Yeah. To a certain extent, which is something that probably people don't think about.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Look at that. Three good examples.
Three good ones. Now, here's where my brain goes. I think it's easy for a product marketer to see all, to hear examples like these or see all these killer examples of product marketing on LinkedIn or in your newsletter or out in the wild and be really inspired in the moment and then have no real way to actually use that inspiration when it is applicable, like when the time is actually right. You know, they slip through the cracks, and when the time comes that they actually could use it, they don't have that example ready. So how do you guys go about keeping track of product marketing examples aside from just making a lot of screenshots, which I think is how most product marketers do it, just on their desktop? Do you have any advice for a product marketer who wants to build their own swipe file?
Yeah. Yes. So I think every product marketer should have their own swipe file, right? If you're not motivated to create a swipe file, then subscribe to our newsletter and go to pmmfiles.com and you can see lots of examples and search for them, right? But I think that there's more to having your own swipe file than just having a bank of things to refer back to. And like the process that we go through is like kind of at a different level because part of the process of making this newsletter, we're also like analyzing these things and doing it as a, you know, two people and having discussions around it, which is even a different level. But like our process is we use Notion. So anyone today watching this, I'll share a link with you. Like I have a free like swipe file template people can download and start their own swipe file if they want to do it on Notion. But two tools, get Notion. You could use Airtable and all those other things, but I can't tell you how to set that up. But use Notion. Right. And just set up a simple database for you to be able to capture examples in. And then go get a tool. It's called Save to Notion. It's a free Chrome extension. Save to Notion. Google that. It's free.
Number
it's
two great. Or words?
Two. T-O.
I think. Okay. I was hoping so. I was going to be sad if it was the two.
It's pretty popular. It's a free Chrome extension. And it's kind of like a bookmarking web clipping tool. And so anytime you come across something cool, because most of the time, the things you add to your swipe file or stuff you're going to see like on LinkedIn or on websites you're browsing and stuff like that. Just bookmark it. And this tool allows you to, one, grab automatically grab screenshots of like the screen you're seeing, or you could like, you know, drag and kind of select an area of the page. But it also allows you to, in your Notion database, you could have a field for tags. Like we have one for the topic. We also have one for like the type of content, right? So being able to tag it properly allows you to easily start build a bank you can quickly refer back to later if you're working on like a launch or you want positioning or messaging examples. And so very quickly, if I see something cool, I just hit that icon. I'll then just say, here's the topic. Here's the type of thing it is. Boom, I add it to my Notion template. So that's how you can like capture things. But where you really start to learn too is having a process for reviewing, right, on a regular basis. So the way that we have ours set up is once we capture something, it goes into like essentially like an inbox. And that inbox is a place where everything new goes into. And the point is like you don't want to, when you're just doing your job throughout the day, if you see something cool, just capture it, right? But then have a process on a weekly basis where you go through and you review those things. And a reason to review it might be you want to tag it better, right? Or you want to just think about it a little bit more. And that process of going in, looking at it a second time, thinking a bit more about it, maybe writing a couple notes with it, that's where you actually learn. And like Aubrey and I go the next level by discussing it and then writing a newsletter about it, which even like helps solidify that much more. But for someone else, it could be that maybe these examples, maybe you do like an internal newsletter, or maybe you do send a note to your product marketing team every week with like, hey, here's three cool examples that I found last week. Or maybe you turn them into LinkedIn posts and you just share cool stuff on LinkedIn. But it's that process of not only just like bookmarking cool stuff, but taking the time to think a little bit critically about it, review it for that second time, write something about it, is how you really start to like learn from these things. Mm-hmm. So that's my advice.
Yeah. And just to not to repeat anything that you said, Jason, so I'll maybe focus on a different part. The one thing that I've started to do a lot more of is swipe files for articles and blogs versus, you know, great examples. Jason talked a lot about great examples, so I'm not really going to repeat what he said, but there is so much amazing product marketing content on LinkedIn, on Substack, on Beehive, from people who really know what they're doing and have a lot of great advice if you're willing to look through it and read it. So for me, what I've found is, again, similar to Jason, I do the same thing in terms of creating that swipe file, the personal kind of bookmarking swipe file, either in Notion. I actually use a Google Sheet for this one because of a very specific reason. Because what I'll do is when I find an article, and this is exclusively for articles, because I feel like, you know, if you're reading something that's long form, you might be like, oh, I have to read this and then go back to it. Yeah. It's really helpful to find the article, skim it, be very specific about why you like it. So are you solving a specific problem with this? So perfect specific example for me would be this whole idea of trying to understand what product marketing looks like at different sizes of companies. I didn't know a whole lot about that before I got into product marketing. And so I found, you know, great article about it. And I went very specifically, this problem solves knowing what product marketing looks like at different sizes of company and why they do what they do, essentially.
Yeah.
And I put that in my Google Sheet, and then I make a subtopic, and then I just put the key points through ChatGPT into it, and then that's it. And I wait a week. Every Sunday, I'll spend bookmark 2 hours, go through everything that I did, read it, make further notes on it, and then it's in my head. And that for me is very helpful, because if again, as Jason said, like if you don't recurrently do these things, you're just not going to use them.
Yeah. It seems like that's, I mean, the biggest takeaway I'm hearing is like simplifying how you save and tag these. Like if you can make that easy, and I'm hearing it doesn't take a very observant person to know that Jason loves Notion, but I'm hearing Jason's recommendation for Notion. And then, it sounds like time boxing to actually review this stuff. Like it could sit in a really cool Notion file, but it's kind of like becoming a student of those examples and actually spending the time to internalize it so that when it comes up, like, hey, we're writing homepage copy, you've taken in all these principles and examples, and sure, you can go back and skim through your tags, but it seems like that is probably the hurdle for most of us. Like, you can crack the tagging, then actually time boxing and to become a student of those examples again, and like actually learn from them.
Yeah. On that point, I'm reading a great book right now by the former head of psychology for the Navy SEALs. And I'm very interested in military history. I have a lot of respect for people in the military. And I've always wondered kind of what makes them different versus kind of the rest of us. And this whole idea of being very deliberate about practice, and number one key thing that you said is blocking off your time and just doing it consistently, it changes everything. So I think exactly what you said, that's also happens to be what really productive people like the SEALs do. If you don't take any inspiration from that, then maybe you will from that.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap, you guys have looked at hundreds of product marketing examples. So I'm thinking, what, you've had over 60 editions of the newsletter now, right? What is it? Something like that?
55 coming out next week.
Okay. 55, five examples per, and then all the ones that didn't make the cut. So a lot of examples. If you could pick one or two themes that you see across the best, the companies who are, they're coming up in your feed a lot. They're consistently churning out great product marketing. Do you see any threads that are consistent across those companies?
Ooh. Yeah. Cause there are ones that pop up quite a bit. You know what I mean? That you're like, okay, I got to space out how often I use their stuff. I think like companies with like a strong POV, like a strong, just they have a strong opinion and they're not afraid to share it. Right. Cause those are the people who have the best differentiation. Like they're just things come out and they sound different. Right. And like, they're not just going through the motions when they do in their go-to-market. And then clarity would be like the two for me. It's like who's really good at being clear and like not confusing things with a lot of jargon.
It's good. Yeah, I'd second those things. And then maybe one for me that I'm seeing a lot of this whole idea of, and maybe this is more for earlier stage companies, but I'm seeing it for larger companies too. This idea of founder-driven storytelling that extends from specific kind of one-off client examples. And there was actually one that we talked about in the newsletter that relates to that, where a founder went through a specific customer problem and kind of responded to it in an interesting way. And I think the other side of that is the way that demos and walkthroughs are being done. But because I think in the old world, you had, a way of, a really glitzy sort of video that kind of talks about the, some cool screenshots of the product and, all these sorts of things. And I feel like where a lot of the best companies are going is this idea of being, as Jason said, very clear. Second one, layering in a story and then doing it in a really short form that where you can see the product in its actual native environment, like what you're going to actually do with it versus just some random screenshots. I think that's where a lot of companies are going, and it's really impactful because you can actually get the sense of, as Jason said, the point of view and then the reality of what does this look like in my day to day.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you guys. Well, guys, I mean, one, thank you for PMM Files. Love it. I can't express enough. I'm a big fan. And thanks for coming on the show. It was really good getting to chat with both of you. If people want to keep up with you two individually and with PMM Files, how would they best do that?
Aubrey, you go first.
So to keep up with PMM Files, subscribe, please subscribe. And that's the best way to get the newsletter. Drops every Wednesday right into your inbox. So that's a great way to see that. Also, we post a lot on LinkedIn about it. So if you see or follow either of us on LinkedIn, you can definitely do that. In terms of myself, LinkedIn is kind of where I live these days to a certain extent, despite about the chagrin of my wife. But that's another conversation. Feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. The only thing that I would say though is if you're going to reach out on LinkedIn, just write me a note before so I can understand how, like why you want to connect and why, how I can be helpful. Cause I think all of us get a lot of LinkedIn requests and if you don't know the person and you don't really know what they're about, it's kind of really hard to accept someone's request and not know kind of what's going to come out of it. So you want to connect, love to connect, just write me a message and then we'll be good.
Cool.
Yeah. And for, if you want to subscribe to PMM Files, go to pmmfiles.com and just put in your email address. Subscribe. And then, if you, productivepmm.com is where, especially if you're a founding PMM, that's a lot of the work I do there is with founding PMMs. And then anyone who, follows me on LinkedIn, or you'll find me on LinkedIn, just search Jason Oakley and you'll see my face, I think, connect with me there. And I like to talk about product marketing, founding PMM stuff, and product launches. So if you are looking to master and level up on product launches too, we teach a course about product launches called Ready for Launch. So check out that.
Great course. I took it. I think Aubrey's signed up for this cohort.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. High recommendations from Colin Majak across the board for these two. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Colin.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.